Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
1 o'clock hour on a Tuesday, hanging out. Stay cool out there. For those of you that that are working outside, obviously do not envy that whatsoever. You were talking about your friends at Gann Asphalt or whatever. No matter what you're doing, if you're in construction, any outside period,
this
delivery.
We
talked to one of our listeners, friend of the show, that delivers, I think it was for FedEx, was in the NCAA tournament that we had last week,
yeah.
The college football video game tournament. So, yeah. Anybody delivering any of that kind of stuff, stay cool out there. I definitely don't want to be in your shoes today.
First, this is a really good day. Like, if you're expecting deliveries, to just leave out like a little cooler with some cold drinks.
There you go.
For either the mail person or other delivery people who might be coming your way. I've done that before. It's a nice thing to do for someone who might be out in the heat. Second, anytime someone says stay cool, I immediately think of those Snoopy shirts from the 90s.
No.
Can't think of anything else than the Snoopy shirts where he's in the sunglasses and it says, stay cool. That's it. That's the first thing I think of when I hear someone say that. You know exactly what I'm talking about,
right? Yeah, I can picture it. I can picture them.
It's like a whole line of them.
Someone says, shout out to the cart guys at Costco. Yeah, anybody that's working outside, period. No matter what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm sure there's various degrees of it sucking, but in this level of heat, it's got to suck.
Yeah, today and tomorrow, I think, are the two worst. And then it's supposed to be a little bit better, maybe? On Thursday or Friday?
Someone said they just got off a roof inspection.
Oh,
it was well over 150 degrees on the
roof?
Surface of the roof. Ugh.
Yeah.
I am sorry.
Yeah, that's brutal, man.
I am sorry. That sucks. Good luck on the next one, I guess.
Before we talk about Patrick Mahomes, and I think at times the misinterpreted way of looking at his salary, right, gets misinterpreted,
sure.
Misconstrued. Mike Evans, though, was a name way back in February, was on the wish list, and he ultimately stayed in Tampa, right? Remember that day? Everybody was kind of bummed out because you thought, oh, number one wide receiver could be available, Mike Evans. Fast forward, Evans was never available. Neither was Michael Pittman Jr. The Chiefs, I think, got the best available wide receiver considering finances in Hollywood Brown, and he's now here on a one-year deal. But Mike Evans, I guess, was doing an interview down in Tampa. And he gave the reason why he stayed, but also admitted that he was seriously considering signing with the Chiefs.
This is where I think the Chiefs will benefit, just as long as you can convince them the rest of the life stuff. So in the interview, Mike Evans was like, he really wanted to go play with Patrick Mahomes because of the talent, the winning, all the things that make it very appealing to play with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. The thing that hung him up was him and his wife didn't want to move. They like living in Tampa. If it weren't for that little hiccup, he'd just stay. And this is the problem with those long-term veterans who have never left their city. Like, if you're the Chiefs, you should actually be targeting gold instead. The type of players who left their city multiple times and are used to the move. Mike Evans has spent his entire damn career in Tampa. Him and his wife are comfortable. They were offering him $25 million a year to just stay there. It's hard to convince a player like that to come play with Patrick Mahomes if he has to uproot his life at the end. Not the end, but like,
this is just a little happy wife,
career.
Happy life kind of thing, right?
Kind of feels that way. Because otherwise, but like, part of this is kind of crazy to me, because our entire livelihoods for the rest of our life, we have life made for the rest of our life. I don't have to have another job. You don't have to have another job for the rest of your life. Just as long as we make the most out of this football thing. And the most out of this football thing is to go play with Patrick Mahomes and try to win a Super Bowl, right? I mean, other than if Tampa
has a ring, though.
Money.
That's the thing.
If he does have a ring.
He just won a ring 2 years ago with Tommy. That's probably part of it. If he was ring chasing still at the end of his career, maybe he would have had a better shot. Look, I love the Hollywood Brown signing because financially it makes a lot of sense as well. But Mike Evans would have been an incredible signing. It's what, seven straight or more?
1,000-yard seasons?
Yeah, maybe 10,
It's the better version of Hollywood in the sense that it's stability. Like with Hollywood Brown, you might be getting the deep threat, but you were offered no stability. He has not been a stable force from a yardage output perspective. Mike Evans has been the most consistent force outside of Travis Kelce in the entire league.
I hear you, and I was interested, but go back to our conversations at the time. I was a little concerned financially, though, for someone at his age, talking about Mike Evans.
Sure, we talked about that.
Who ultimately signed a two-year, $52 million contract, $35 million guaranteed.
Look, I don't know that I would have paid that price. I understand the fear of that price, gold, and everything else that comes with it, because that's very real. But, I mean, wouldn't you have had to think about paying it? It's Mike Evans, because... Again,
I think the Chiefs might have done it. What else would they not have been able to take care of this offseason, though, if they would have done that, right?
Maybe no Mike Dana? Like, the truth is, it's like one mid-tier deal, because it's not that they didn't pay Hollywood Brown nothing.
I understand, yeah.
They obviously, and as you know, there's more flexibility in giving someone even 2 years than one from a contract perspective. You could
guaranteed.
Technically flirt numbers one way or another, or debate them one way or the other, and kind of have some flexibility in it. But I think that it's... We haven't seen that big turnaround, except for we're just getting these one-year deal. 1 year for Juju Smith-Schuster, 1 year for Hollywood Brown. People seem fine at age. It seems like instead of getting the Mike Evans, the 32-year-old stable force with all of the security in the world, they're getting the one-year, 28-year-old wide receiver looking to go cash in somewhere else.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mahomes, too, though, and how that factors into a free agent's mindset. I think you laid it out nicely, where like Mike Evans already got the ring, has played with Tom Brady, has accomplished everything really in his career already. You know,
yeah,
I know people get into debate, but I think Mike Evans will end up in the Hall of Fame one day based off of the numbers. Whereas Hollywood Brown, the quarterback you're going with matters even more for Hollywood Brown because you haven't got
the earning potential.
Massive contract yet. And if you have, even if it's a 1,000-yard season with Mahomes on a 1 year deal, maybe the Chiefs pay you, maybe they don't, but somebody will. And if I don't know every single free agent that's available next year, but my guess is if Hollywood Brown has a 1,000-yard season and he's healthy for 95% of it, he's probably getting $26 million a year, right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's the market, and I think that's a possibility. And so when Mahomes then is getting paid what he's getting paid, that has the trickle-down effect, which is why I like that Adam Schefter actually tweeted this out yesterday, because whenever a new quarterback gets a deal, we all look at the annual average value, and we're like, man, Mahomes is, you know, the 12th highest-paid quarterback. Yes and no. Yes,
by average annual, he is.
By that, he is. The flexibility of the contract makes it the best contract in the NFL and obviously best bang for your buck. But don't worry, cash flow wise,
over the last 3 years, he was the highest paid.
From 2024 to 2027, Mahomes will still have the largest cash flow of any quarterback in the league. Schefter put this out there: $215.6 million Mahomes over the next three, cash. Burrow, $213.9. Goff, $193. Now, Tua is the fourth most in terms of cash flow.
He just got his contract.
Jordan Love, fifth most, $186. And then you get to Jalen Hurts, Herbert, and Cousins.
The guys who signed their deals 2 years
right.
ago. Or, Cousins this year. But
think about so like
he's older.
The way the Chiefs structured the deal, the way Mahomes did, we all know the ultimate flexibility they have. But don't worry, the cash flow, he still is the largest cash flow of any quarterback in the NFL over the next three.
Yeah, I don't think he's underpaid. Well, look, he is underpaid. Let's just establish that right now. He has far more value than he is paid.
Of course.
Underpaid compared to his peers, I think it's a bit disingenuous because really what's happening here is he's paid comparable to his peers, but he is so much better than the people around him. Like, I'm tired of pretending like there's not some massive separation from him and literally any other quarterback in the league. I can't take one more damn social media post from some Bills fan citing QBR over the last 3 years. I can't do it. They're not the same. You must know that by now. You must know the separation in talent, skill, accomplishment, a million reasons why the difference between Mahomes and Josh Allen is so significant that he is way underpaid. But that also doesn't seem like the best reason, or the best result of him getting all of these Super Bowl wins here now is, now you could always dangle the carrot of history. If you just have one Super Bowl title and you're 7 years into this thing, you can just take the big paycheck and hope to get a second one.
We saw with Brady, right?
Yes. I mean,
Brady did this with his contracts, and we were all upset about it because on the other end, we're like, this sucks. This guy is willing to be flexible.
Exactly. But you have to be so good so early to even make the justification goal that you got to give us all the flexibility in the world in paying you. We will get you paid. You will make a lot of money. You will make a lot of money in endorsements. You'll make a lot of money after football, all of those things. But give us ultimate flexibility to pay you. And what could come with that is ultimate glory. You are already, because of that flexibility partially, the second or third most successful quarterback in NFL history. If we keep doing it this way, which we should, Patrick, you might go down as the single greatest quarterback in NFL history. That is a very tempting thing. If you're Jordan Love, you're Josh Allen, you're Joe Burrow, you can't be sure that this is the only paycheck you're never going to get. You can't be sure. You do have to take it in a different way. You got to take that money up front. You got to take it where it hurts your team more in the initial years or in the later years because you're just not playing the same game. He's playing, it's the chess versus checkers argument. Mahomes is playing for a different thing than you. You're playing for us, Super Bowl. He's playing for ultimate legacy. It's like a just complete, you know, so to be paid on with your peers, he's way underpaid.
This is
if
what
they paid him $100 million a year, I probably wouldn't complain.
But we definitely see this in, I mean, what happened in the NBA to a certain extent. It definitely happened, as I said, with the Patriots. You're right. You reach a certain level when we're talking about legacy of greatest of all time, and you're willing to make some more sacrifices, knowing that, as I just told you, Mahomes still has the largest cash flow over the next 3 years.
So he's not,
but they're not
robbing him.
But
either.
Providing the flexibility to allow your team to still thrive and retain the talent that's necessary for your own legacy, that's what Mahomes is doing. I mean, when the Warriors were during their dynasty, there were some players that probably could have gone out and got a little bit more money. Nobody's crying and saying they're poor, but they could have got a little more money elsewhere. They chose to stay to be part of that dynasty. Right. You know, LeBron, even though he's getting paid a ton for the Lakers, I believe if he would have left even still, he could have got more money somewhere else.
I think
if that's what the way it was situated based off of his player option or whatever. So we've seen this happen. This is what you're right, though. It is a 0.01% of even the 10% or 1% of the best athletes that are doing this.
Because you have to be chasing something truly historic. By the way, we way undersold Mike Evans. He's had 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's never not had a 1,000-yard season at any point in his NFL career, which is ludicrous.
Yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But it is so few athletes who you can even pitch this to, you know? Like, it's not even... It's like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. You can even say... This is the way we should go about his business. Because in addition to that, you do have to have other income sources, which he has now. And honestly, you could probably make that argument for Travis Kelce now. If 2 years from now, his contract's up, and you want him for one last ride because you think you need the tight end before the next guy's ready, you might be able to talk him into a cheaper than slightly market value deal because he has plenty of off-the-field earning potential. That's the other part, is that Patrick Mahomes is, I mean, very few people are going to have that opportunity.
Yeah, the flexibility to most quarterbacks just aren't in a position, as you said, to do that because multiple people were asking on the text line, like why are other teams not doing it?
Yeah, because it is easier to convince Mahomes to do that because of what he has already accomplished. You have to get to a certain level in order for that to be there.
Plus other teams,
Mahomes just has to rip the deal up.
Plus other teams, how many quarterbacks are other teams willing to give a 10-year contract with all the guaranteed money rolling over every single year? I mean, maybe you'd feel confident with Josh Allen, maybe, but that's about it right now because of injury history with some of the other guys.
Guaranteed mechanisms, isn't that what they called it?
They invented that basically.
Speaking of contract stuff, are we still thinking Creed's getting a deal?
I do. Okay. I still believe that happens before the season. I'll admit I thought it would have happened on the first day of camp. I still think that that does. If not, they're entering next offseason with Creed on an expiring deal, Trey Smith and Nick Bolton. I guess nothing prevents you from getting that done. Ultimately, I still think Creed Humphrey, I think you do too. Like Will he be on this team next year on a new deal? Yes. I still think there's a chance before the start of the season, but I also put the percentages. Creed Humphrey getting a deal, period, meaning he's on the team a year from now with the new deal. I still think there's a 65-70% chance that happens, and then it's way lower for Trey Smith. I think it's 15%,
sure.
15-20%.
It would depend on if like Creed's deal fell through. That, you know, this sure. works. Sometimes they start targeting somebody else.
Just based on his comments, as we've brought up a few times, I think it's like a 10% chance Nick Bolton gets a new deal.
Do you? What's just real quick, guys? What's the protocol on if we're watching?
You're watching the Olympics, yes.
The Olympics team event. Are we allowed to talk about that on the air? Because people might watch this later again in primetime, but it's on live TV right now.
The results will be known, obviously, before the primetime window on NBC tonight for the women's team all-around final. But yeah, it's live right now on television. It looks like the U.S. are like a good floor routine away, maybe from having a good finish. So we'll see.
That was you doing it very vague.
Mm-hmm.
There was also an incredible finish in the rugby sevens. Did you see the?
I did not see that.
Oh man. Try at the, that's what they call a score in rugby.
Thank you. I did not know.
They scored a last second try and 2-point conversion as time expired to get the bronze medal.
That sounds, I mean, I need to see that. That sounds like that'd be some drama to say the least.
So you want to watch the end of the rugby sevens?
Maybe so.
Someone's now going to be pissed at me like, I was going to watch that later.
Look, we all have social media and alerts. It's not, the chances of you not knowing the results of the U.S. women gymnastics final by the time it airs tonight is slim.
Anymore. You know, when I first started working here, maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, however long ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, forever ago. When I first started working here, and I used to run the board on Q side, and at night we were running Royals games. You had to do like a little bit more to run a Royals game then. There was a few more buttons to press. But you'd sit there and you press your buttons and you'd hang out for 4 hours, 5 hours on the Royals game run. There used to be a woman who called in, no short, 3 times a night asking for the results. Oh, sorry, I'm like,
no, this
I'm
happened
not,
when I was an intern,
I'm
too.
Not the
I, don't know if it was, I don't know if it was the same lady,
had
but yeah.
To be. It's like, we're not the library. I'm not respond. And at the PD at the time, John Hansen, was, in my opinion, dumb enough on this one that he had decided, he was like, nah, you should answer her questions. She's a listener. I'm like, she's just some lady who could get Google. Why am I answering who won what medal for the equestrian whatever a dressage event for this woman?
Yeah.
That happened to you too?
Somebody. I don't know if it's the same lady, but back
in
the day, this was over 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Hmm. Anyway, earlier today.
Yes.
You had a new song. Now,
I did.
This was one where there wasn't much pushback and I was fairly supportive.
You had to agree to it.
This was from our Cody Engel garage sale where someone bid on it and to raise money for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And it was a cool idea, actually. Someone was smart business owner, said, hey, I want a song maybe about the area my business is in and my business. And so you finish this song. We heard it for the first time earlier.
I feel like because they donated money to a charity, we should give everyone a chance to hear it if they missed it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you want to play it again?
Yeah, I do. It was, so just so you know, the name of the bar is Social. They're in Waldo.
We guest bartended
there. There's been
there.
A massive amount of construction in Waldo, if you haven't driven through there any time in the last, I don't know, 18 months. So it's been kind of untenable to get through that area. So they had asked for a song to be made about their bar, Social, and this is what I came up with.
The beginning is just, here we go.
Let me talk.
It's because you know the song right away. That's part of it.
To your brain.
Here we go.
Let me talk to you. They got them battered onion rings, drinks perfect pours. The whole city's looking at her. Next thing you know, we're at Social here in Waldo. Whoa, 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 whoa. Them batty first apps and the wings they always slap.
They slap.
Just turn around and see old beers they have on tap. That won't make me go this crazy all night saving my dough. Got $1 million vibe or a burger to go. This happy hour, it stole the show. Irresistible, unforgettable, professional, no more status quo. Hold up, wait a minute, do I see what I think I won't? Yeah, I think this'll make you go. Ain't the same till you see it up close. Use your brain, I'm making it known. Work your vibes right here in Waldo. I'ma say that I prefer we all go. I'm into that, I think it's case closed. Don't turn your back on me, that would be low. Cash ain't a problem, I know where to go. They've got them battered onion rings, drinks perfect pours. The whole city's looking at her. Next thing you know,
next thing you know,
we're at some show here in Waldo.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Then Maddie first steps and the wings they always slap.
They slap.
Just turn around and see the beers they have on tap.
Next thing you know,
we're at some show here in Waldo.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I'm going to give you a homework.
People want the song live.
I'll give you
a
homework.
They want you to do that live.
God, I don't know that I can. I mean, maybe.
That was, again, this one, no complaints, really. One, it's to support a business, first of all. And two, it's like, Get Low's a great beat anyway.
Yes.
And, yeah, I think the battered onion rings, though, to start. The battered onion rings part is the part that I, like, right out of the gate, I was like, oh boy, we're in for something.
I got them battered onion rings.
It is definitely the best part, and it's a good song. But
that's
like,
a great song.
It definitely is the
got
best part of the song.
Battered onion.
Got them battered onion rings.
I would encourage you to go back and look at the original lyrics to that song because very different vibe.
Well, yeah.
If you don't know, that song is definitely about a stripper.
Well, yeah, yeah. But so. Well, you said look at her.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Well, I decided the bar was a woman.
We're at so show here in Waldo.
Yep.
So that's it. You know, we like to support small local business on this show, and someone paid for charity to get a custom song made. And by the way, someone was asking earlier, couldn't that listener who bought the pass to block it for this
one
because it was for charity?
One.
No.
Yeah.
They can now block the next song I do, though, unfortunately. Anything I do after this is fair game.
The individual that has the pass was in communication with me today.
Oh, wow. Did he ask if he could block it?
He did not officially ask to block it, but at some point in time, we will have the ability to block a song. Today was not one we could. Someone says, it's a good song, but you made it so much better.
Look at this.
I mean,
some people are saying this is my best song so far.
Hey, I ain't seen nothing that won't make me go this crazy all night saving my dough.
Have you heard back from the business?
Yes, I have. They sent an email earlier.
I want this answer. Yeah, what do they think? Smart advertising. And it went for charity, so props to social.
Let's see. Let me find the email.
The backup singer part, someone says kill them. Yeah, that's...
I'm always my own backup singer because it's hard to get other people to just like come
in
to do
the song? What was the first part you had the backup singer part?
Probably like, the second line. After Battered Onion, Rings has a backup.
Battered Onion Rings drinks.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's immediate on that end. Effing nailed it. Can't stop laughing. LMAO. Please send that to me if you can. Appreciate your help again. That's what the email from the business owner was. So,
someone says you should sing the national anthem when we do 6:10 day at the K, but then the guy vetoes you singing that and then you're just standing there in quiet.
They're like, why isn't he singing? Stage fright.
He can't sing.
Had terrible, terrible stage fright. Please.
Someone says, why was Gold not the backup singer? You know I don't do that. One time I was in a music video for this show.
I was wearing a gold chain,
and that was it. Mm-hmm. That was it.
But you could have done that. Like, I'll give you the battered onion rings. You just
Cody knows
rings
my
after,
Cody
right?
knows my rate is too high now after being in the Hallmark movie.
That's true.
It's
you
too
do
high.
Have a price.
It's just too high now.
It's just
you know?
Battered onion rings.
Rings.
Gotta go higher.
Up.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, he goes. He's higher in that song. You know?
They
got them battered onion rings.
This could have been any local business.
Uh-huh.
This should have gone for more money.
Someone wants to know, is this... But you read the business owner comments. Someone wanted to know if you were banned there, a lifetime ban. No, they liked it. And the folks at social... Anyway, you should check
them
out.
We should guest bartend again.
We did guest bartend before. We should plan a guest bartend again. Should do that. When we get Drew back in town, Drew hasn't done it. We can get Drew to guest bartend with us, raise some more show fund money.
Yeah.
The show fund is depleted.
It's hurt. Well, we had a lot of stuff to buy there for a while, and so...
We want to show fuck because we want to buy some new Cody and Gold t-shirts, full disclosure.
So
we have the original ones, the first year of the show, the Cody and Gold shirts. We're way out of those for the last three and a half, four years, so we need to get some new Cody and Gold t-shirts, and maybe a little guest bartending is the way to do that.
So if you're listening, Sean, can we come back to social so we can get those battered onion rings?
A lot of commercials have been made about how people sing song lyrics incorrectly. Like people think they know the words and they're like, no, they did not say that. Someone says, did you say going crazy all night, sucking my toe? He did not say that in.
That's not even the line in the original song.
Someone says, I have to go get some onion rings for dinner now. I mean, onion rings for everybody, right?
The whole city's looking at her.
Cody, will you sing this song live if do a little guest bartender?
Someone brought, coming up, we're late for a break. We're going to get to what's trending, and then someone sent a text that reminds me of something that I'll have to admit. Look, that I wish we had the audio of it. I warned you.
You did warn me.
I warned you about something.
You did.
And it happened. We'll tell you what that is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, MLB trade deadline, 5 o'clock today. We're getting close to that deadline. A couple more moves happening. None from the Royals yet. Could we see more before 5 o'clock? We shall see. But Josh Bell, the latest member to get traded in baseball. Josh Bell of the Marlins traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. One of what, three or four moves in the last hour or so across Major League Baseball. But nothing relating to the Royals so far today.
Next up on what's trending, the Royals did win last night on the Bobby Witt Jr. Grand Slam in the eighth, and then two obviously stunningly good plays in the field as well. They were winners in that game, 8-5. They'll take the White Sox on again tonight. It'll be Michael Wacha on the mound.
Wacha tonight. There you go. Next up on what's trending, Olympics, of course, ongoing. I know you're not going to be able to see it until primetime tonight, so if you don't want a spoiler, you got about... Well, I'm talking right now, a second.
You got 10
turn
seconds
it down.
I'm
about
turn it
to
now.
Spoil something
it.
Because it's been pushed out. You might have already seen it, and now I'm going to have to tell you. In the women's all-around team final, the United States picks up a gold medal. That just happened in the last 5 minutes or so, and now Simone Biles officially becoming the most decorated American gymnast in the history of the Olympics with 8 medals. And reminder, she still has multiple events to go. She's got the individual all-around tomorrow, then an individual event final still. So she could have... She does have 5 more opportunities to get medals, but she's already got a gold in the team all around. So nice to see. Team USA gets gold.
That puts the U.S. up to 4 gold medals. That's 6th, 1 behind 3rd place, 2 behind 2nd, and 3 behind 3rd. But first overall in 22 total medals for the U.S. team. Next up on, because they got a bronze in rugby today, too. Next up on what's trending, the Panthers have placed veteran Rashad Penny on the reserve retired list as of Tuesday. The only 28-year-old Penny played 5 seasons for the Seahawks and spent last season with the Eagles. Barely got on the field last year, the year before. Just one of those, like, really good athletes, former first-round pick, and retired at 28.
Last thing on what's trending, just an update on this week's Hall of Fame game. That's right, we got a preseason game on Thursday night, Hall of Fame game in Canton. Kayla Williams will not play for the Chicago Bears, unfortunately. Probably not surprised, but I don't know. I thought there was a slim chance. And Robert Saleh says that New York Jets starting quarterback Aaron Rodgers unlikely to play at all in the preseason, which makes sense. He's coming off the Achilles injury. Why would you even mess with playing Rodgers in the preseason? That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. So I mentioned before the break, it was a text that reminded me of something. I forgot all about this. And
because we were talking about the show fund.
We were.
The
we
ever
were.
Important show fund.
You might have recalled, I think in like November, December.
It was so long ago.
November or December. We were having a debate. I think our show fund had a decent amount of money in it at the time.
Some, yeah, it was doing
we were,
good.
You know, we were talking about what should we do? And you're like, we should just buy a pallet from Amazon and we'll just sell it. And so my first reaction at that time was, dude, how are we going to sell this? It's going to take forever. Like, let's start smaller because the pallet.
And we did start smaller.
And so I talked you away from the pallet, thank goodness, which would have been double the price.
Yeah,
into a small mystery box. We opened the box on air. You might recall we sold like two items. Then you took the box. I have not seen the box since November.
So funny
enough. And it did not end up in the garage sale. But my concern, I warned you, you're not going to want to sell this stuff. That it's cool to open the box, but it's going to be a pain in the ass to sell. Fast forward, I haven't heard you bring it up in 6 months. I forgot about it. A listener just texted in, where's the mystery box? Have you sold everything and where's the money?
The mystery box is still at my house. I have sold almost none of it, but I did finally start taking photos of it. I swear to God, in the last week, because I'm like, I got to do something with this. And the money is not sold yet.
Because the box was like $300, wasn't it?
It was like $250. Yeah, it was like $200. And its value is good. So we can put some money in the show fund by selling it. I'll be honest. I actually think you should have let me buy the pallet. I think you made the box too small to ignore. If I had a pallet worth of stuff, I'd have had to sell it. Too many things.
No, because the pallet would have sat downstairs in this building with a bunch of other junk. Yeah. And so I think
I would have been more inclined to sell it due to need.
Been triple the items for you to try to sell, and you can't even sell 20 of these items.
No, it really is. I'm not.
Hugh,
even
do
kidding.
You remember this? Did you call this happening?
I do.
I think I mentioned it like a week ago to my wife, and I started taking photos. It's overdue.
Thank
I gotta sell
you
it all.
To the
I'm
texter.
I'm gonna start selling it this weekend. It's
thank
over.
You to the texter because yeah. That was our biggest worry the whole time was
that I wasn't going to want to sell.
You're not going to want to sell stuff. And sure enough,
that's
almost been a year.
My level of commitment to the box was very strong. My level of commitment to the selling it part was low.
Yeah.
I didn't like the selling part. Turns out I don't like dealing with people on like Facebook Marketplace or eBay.
You did a pretty good job gaslighting Gold there, though, about wanting to get the pallet. I would have done it if it was the pallet, I swear.
Honestly, it's so many things. I wouldn't have had a choice. It'd have been too much stuff. I couldn't have just kept it. Like, this box was easy. I just stowed it away for a little while.
Where is it?
Stop taking photos. It's in my house.
Like, where? Is it on your kitchen table?
No,
it's in the basement?
Didn't we have, like, an Apple Pen and stuff?
That didn't sell yet. Or I haven't sold it yet.
See, some of this stuff is losing value.
Here's part of my problem is, it actually wasn't the selling part that was the really, it was, I didn't want to determine a price for all of this stuff. And then I say, I want $45. And someone's like, I'll give you $22. And you're like, fine. Like, the price valuation was tough. But since I've started taking photos, I will ask you.
What else is in there?
And Q.
Remember?
Yeah, there's a Olympic quality, like a racing swimsuit for like a young kid.
Olympic quality. Put that in the listing, please. Get it up there now during the Olympic quality.
It's like a $90 racing swimsuit for a kid. What else? There's a jacket. There's all kind of, I mean, it's.
Didn't Spec like buy something?
He did.
From
Spec
the box?
Something out of there.
I don't remember
and we just
what
put
was.
That in the show fund.
Yeah.
That went in the show fund at the time, but.
Didn't Kramer buy something? I feel like Kramer bought something.
Sean Barber was trying to like really like lowball us on a charger and an Apple.
That's right.
And we didn't sell it to him because he was like, I'll give you like $15. It's like $15. We were in too deep. It was no good. It was a no good offer.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to lowball us.
Yeah. We're never doing the mystery box again.
No, that died. Had I been committed, we could have done it again, but now. What if I sell it all and we just turn a tremendous profit? Then can we do it again?
And
you can set a deadline for how quickly I have to sell it?
That's the pallet. Like, I get what you're saying. You wouldn't have been able to put it in your house, but it would also have just sat downstairs in the
building.
Yeah,
but then it's like staring me at the... You know, this is like anything else. Like things you have to put away in your house or project. If they're out of sight, out of mind, you know? Like, if I can hide it away, I can just pretend that like it doesn't exist for a little bit and just, whatever. Pallet downstairs, right? Some Roxanne would have come up from downstairs at some point and been like, hey, guys, gotta maybe do something about the giant pallet of goods downstairs. You're like, oh, yeah, okay. Cool, let's go down there. Let's take some photos. Let's get it listed. The box was too easy. Too easy to just put away.
My favorite text so far in this conversation says, don't ever let Cody help you run a business. You'll go broke.
That's not true. This is one $200
The finances have gotten out of control.
Is this the end of CNN
Pizza? This entire video stream.
Our show fund has like a dollar in it right now.
It has more than a dollar, but it's not. We're not flush.
It has like 15 bucks.
We're not flush, no. All right, I'll start selling the stuff.
We need to sell the mystery box items, and let's guest bartend. Let's get the bank account back up so we can get some Cody and Gold t-shirts. Yeah. Let's do this.
I think you're right. I think we need Cody and Gold t-shirts again.
Someone says we should do sports cards. Well, we're not doing any breaks, and we're not going to do that.
We had our Top Shot days. I'm suing NBA Top Shot. I'm a part of a class action.
Did you guys see this?
I'm a part of a class action lawsuit.
You remember?
Against NBA Top Shot.
3 years ago.
I'm not kidding.
3+ years ago on the show, for those of you who've been with us for a while, you know, we open NBA Top Shot packs, right? The NFTs.
What a great time in the show. Middle of COVID.
It was middle of COVID. There wasn't much going on. And so it was a fun thing we did. We actually made a decent amount of money, each one of us, off of the Top Shot packs because we happened to get in line. Remember, there was limited supply. And now I don't know. I don't have any. I don't know. I don't think they're worth anything anymore. But we already sold them. And now we all got an email a week or two ago. There's a class action lawsuit against Top Shot. And I looked, it says that depending on how many you ever had in your account, you might get 16 cents back for each one. So I might get a $7 check.
Man, it ain't gonna be much.
Maybe.
You know what? Whatever I get back from NBA Top Shot, it can go straight to the show fund. Whatever Dapper Labs or whatever the name of the company is sends me gold, I promise my NBA Top Shot money up to $100, which I don't think I'll even get that, to the show fund because of my delay in selling the stuff.
Someone says, Gold wants Cody to do all these things for the show fund, but he hasn't suggested anything he's going to do to help. Oh, the guest bartending I've already done before. The mystery box, the reason why this is all on Cody is because, conversation, we were all against it, and we said, fine.
They finally agreed
and
to the mystery
that's
box.
That's why the mystery box is all on him. The guest bartending, we all do together.
Life happened, man. I got busy. I don't know.
Other things we've done and we do as a show. The mystery box, though, yes, it is on actually Cody to sell.
I tell you what, I think what the mystery box taught me is, I'm never going to be side hustle guy, you know? That's just not for me. I got enough things going on. There's enough things going on in life in general. I'm never going to be side hustle guy. And that's what it was going to take to sell this box.
And the text
it was going
right.
to have to be a side hustle.
Your whole selling point to myself and Drew on this, even when we pushed back, was, oh, we'll open it in November. It'll be perfect to sell by Christmas. By Christmas.
It's perfect again.
And it's August here in 2 days.
It's coming back around. We're in great shape.
Oh, man.
Back to school shopping for a jacket, goodness. You know?
Someone else says you haven't paid off your strip club bet. Good news, everybody. Cody and I are going to Vegas in 3 weeks.
True, we are.
Strip club bet is back on.
Yeah, we are going to Vegas. It's true.
You're running out of chances. We went in February. You didn't pay it off then. We're going in August. You didn't pay it off then. We're going again in October. We'll have more details on that. How you can join us at the strip club in Vegas, perhaps. You have two more chances this year to pay it off. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's somehow some consequence. I don't know.
Seems like it'd be more expensive.
It's definitely
there.
Cheaper here than it would be in Vegas.
Yeah. It seems significantly, I would guess. I don't know.
Do you think the Royals ultimately do something by 5 o'clock?
I kind of feel like it. This seems like a weird reason, but we talk about sometimes being reactionary in this sport in the sense that when you signed Bobby Witt Jr. to that contract, you told him that you were about winning and you were serious about it. How can you, the day before the trade deadline, watch Bobby Witt Jr. single-handedly manhandle the entire Chicago White Sox team into a four-hit day that included a grand slam and two absolute web gems at shortstop to end the game and get the save for James McArthur and not tell that man he deserves one more player? I think they're in for one more move before five. If they don't make one, I will not be upset. But I still think they're going to make one more move before five.
Well, so do I. You know, I look, stepping back in how we discussed the trade market a month ago, we all said, oh, they need to add a bullpen arm or two. They actually have added two bullpen arms, or one could be a starter, I guess, but two arms. And so adding a third, I mean, you could at least say they attacked it. Did they get the best names available? No, but also I think they're considering their farm system right now. They want to, remember, ultimately they're ahead of schedule. They wanted to build up this farm system. Now, this time next year, depending on where things are at, are they willing to be more aggressive? Maybe. I think they've done a good job, kind of the balance of buying, not being sellers, still buying, not jeopardizing the future. and still feeling like a couple of these moves could ultimately help this team. Right now, they occupy the final wild card
spot.
They're
only a game back from the second wild card
spot. They're 6.5 back in the AL Central. So I'm fine with how they've approached it, but I'm like you, before the deadline, or I guess even 15 minutes after the deadline, by the time it's reported, I think there's one more move. I think it should be another bullpen arm, believe it or not, but after I get the sense maybe it'll just be another, I don't want to say random, but kind of a bat. I just not going to get excited about the bats, I think, based on who's seemingly available for what price. The bullpen arms they've added, I still think, will have a greater chance of impacting this team securing a playoff spot than any bat they could now get. When you didn't get Jazz sense. Chisholm, he could have had a bigger
or Lane
impact.
Thomas or a few others.
Now, I mean, it sounds like, I guess things can change, but it sounds like Rooker's not getting traded. It sounds like Luis Robert's not getting traded. And I don't know how realistic either of those guys were anyway. And so if they trade for someone, Taylor Ward, is he still available out there?
He is.
You know, something like that. Okay, that's fine.
It's kind of like a rotational outfielder.
Correct. And that's fine. It's just, I don't know if that's having the, are we going to sit here at the end of September and say that bat they traded for the day of the deadline is why they made the playoffs or what solidified them making the playoffs?
I think there is look, the teams are very different. They win in different ways. I'm not saying they're not similar, they're not the same, but going back to when the Royals did have that 2-year run, and obviously we want this to last longer than that one, but when they had that 2-year run, the first year in 14, they bought kind of like they're buying now. Yeah, I saw a couple things on sale. Price seemed pretty good. Sure, put them on. Let's do it. And I know Caden Wallace has not given up nothing. You can't ever give up nothing to get these guys. But not bargain basement, but I'm not exactly selling the farm. And because they only won 56 games last year, it is hard to make the argument of give up the world for a player that could mean the world. The only problem is in baseball more than other sports, if you get to the postseason, specifically because the Royals starting rotation is so good, I'm just telling you right now, if they make the playoffs, you could not tell me they do not have a chance to win the World Series. Their starting rotation has been third or fourth in baseball the entire year. If your rotation is that good, you have a chance to win the World Series because you're only a couple of good starts away from winning a couple of series. That's all it takes. And so I want them to find the middle ground, but I told you, if they don't make a deal, I'm not going to be upset. I still think they got one thing up their sleeve. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do.
Tomorrow, J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, going to join us on the show. There'll be plenty to discuss with him, either what they did, what they didn't do, all of that. And the moves, I know tomorrow we'll discuss the moves the rest of the contenders made, right? Right now, if you were to take a look, the teams I think were almost curious about what they do by today's deadline at 5 o'clock, Cleveland, Minnesota, Boston, Seattle. Those are really the four teams that you're going to be battling with for either the final two wild card spots or the division, right? The Guardians are there. Those are the teams that I'm curious moves they've already made. And do they make any more moves by 5 this evening?
Sometimes there's a bigger separation in baseball. When you actually look at the American League, I know that you'd be like, well, maybe the Yankees and the Guardians are way better than the Royals. There's only 4.5, 5.5 games difference between those teams. I think 6.5 if you're the Guardians, 5.5 if you're the Guardians, and 4.5, I think, only between the Royals and the Yankees. There is not some tremendous separation that has taken place over these first 110-ish, it's a little bit less than that, 110-ish games. They have not, declared themselves, look how much better we are via the record. It's 3, 4, 5 games in most spots, and those teams to this point have been more aggressive, but they're more desperate. Guess who's won a World Series more recently than the Yankees? The Royals. Guess who's won a more? I don't think the Guardians have won a World Series since Bob Feller was pitching. So they should be kind of desperate. Those teams should be more in line, and they're in later stages. The Orioles, the Yankees, the Guardians—they're on later stages of their rebuild, their competition period. The Royals are in year one. Year one of being competitive. They stunk last year. They're in year one, so they've got a little bit of time, or they can convince themselves they got a little bit of time before they have to be desperate. Couple years from now, a year from now, you might feel different.
And in the offseason, based on how the rest of the season goes too, the offseason, you could lay out some groundwork for some potential moves. We remember the stories after the trade deadline last year that, some of the discussions they had, even though trades didn't happen, would that lead, lay the groundwork out for future conversations during the winter meetings? I know that doesn't impact the team this year, but those are also things to remember. But I am curious to see what happens by the time we get to 5 this evening. I know the Drive will be on the air, obviously, so you want to make sure you're tuned in to CDOT and Rob this afternoon. They'll be keeping an eye on the trade deadline, and really usually it gets kind of crazy from about 4:55 to 5:15 You know, that's that window where sometimes some if
the Royals did nothing.
Like if there's a huge play, if Skubal gets moved or whatever, you know, like that's
Garrett Crochet.
That's probably going to be closer to five. I don't think that's going to be anytime after 3 o'clock today, 4 o'clock today, and maybe in that 15-minute window. If they get moved, we might be sitting here and after all this, the top end starting pitchers, maybe they don't get moved. Not the Royals aren't in that market anyway, but in terms of Orioles shoring up their rotation.
In a weird way, because Garrett Crochet is not scheduled to pitch against them, and they only face him two more times. I kind of hope he stays with the White Sox. So that at least every once in a while, someone else in the division has to face him.
I get you.
He's their only good pitcher.
He is. That's fair. I get what you're saying.
Like, that's the only chance anybody... The White Sox have lost 15 straight games. They just reek of ineptitude. We thought last year's Royals team was pretty bad because they only won 56 games. And they would have destroyed this year's White Sox team. Are you kidding me? This year's White Sox team is 27 wins still. It is July 30th. Yeah,
they're going to be lucky to get to like 40.
40.
I'm serious.
Like,
do you think
Tigers in the early 2000s?
I know they have 27 and there's 55 games or whatever left.
No, they're going to be lucky to get to 40.
They might
face in a really competitive division.
Get to 40.
Like the Tigers are near 500. The Royals are well above 500. The Guardians are well above 500. Like the Twins are well above 500. They don't.
Yeah.
Everyone else in their division can beat
them.
That's a
bad spot to be in there.
You think he'll come back to the Royals? I liked Grifol. I feel really bad for him. It's gone so poorly.
They already have their staff figured out, but he'll be a bench coach again. I have no doubt. So but and look, it's not all on him by any means. That organization in Chicago is a mess.
Ownership stinks there. Always has.
We're back at it tomorrow. Obviously, going to talk a lot about the trade deadline. JJ Piccolo going to join us on the program, and then day baseball tomorrow. So a little shorter show as well. So a lot more to come on the Royals front, and something I want to look at when it comes to Tyreek Hill as well. That's up tomorrow, 10 to 2. But for now, we hand things off to CDOT and Rob on the drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.